there's a very specific feeling that creeps up on Sundays. It can start out with a general feeling of being unsettled or restless. The anxiety grows until, boom, you've caught it. The Sunday scaries. If this is you, I can help. My name is Dora Kamau. I'm a meditation and mindfulness teacher at Headspace and the host of a new Spotify-exclusive podcast called The Sunday Scaries. Sunday Scaries is out now. Tap the banner to listen for free right here on Spotify.
You know how to put that back together, right?
Sure, yep.
It's Friday night, 7:30 p.m. My phone's in four pieces and Octavia's inserting something inside. In a few minutes, I'm leaving to meet the family.
You want them to pull the van up?
No. Have the surveillance guys a couple of blocks away. But I want them to take the subway. They might be watching out front.
We should have people in the building.
No, no. Everyone stays in the van.
These people are serious.
And they are easily spooked as well. I don't want them spotting our fake janitor or whatever and running for the hills.
Okay, so, Ross, I have got your phone fixed up so we can hear what you hear and see through your camera.
Have your phone out whenever you can, but make sure there's a reason.
There's always a reason. Charlie wants to see.
Right.
Will he be able to hear us?
Yeah, but I kind of don't want us to talk to him.
Why not?
Because I don't know how life after signals work. I don't know how Charlie and Sasha are talking to him, and I'm worried that if we transmit through his phone...
They might be able to hear us.
Maybe.
So you can't talk to me, and you can't protect me. Anything else?
Yeah. Don't break cover for a second. Assume that whatever they had to fear from Orpheus NYC, whatever damage they thought he could do, it's 50 times worse with you. These people see your mask slip, they're not gonna hesitate.
Terrific.
Let's go. Something illegal connected to Boy Street. Give me one tiny reason to raid that server farm in Idaho. You could walk away from all this tonight.
It's funny to think. I might not be the only person on this train headed for the gathering, as Paul calls it. I look around the car at everyone wearing their earbuds and headphones, lost in their voices. Do we look different somehow? Those of us who never really lived past the day we got that phone call?
Hey, we're on. I'm back on.
Sorry, had to work late.
So, tonight's family night, right?
Mm-hmm. It's family night.
How great is this? We get a whole night with people who get it.
Looks like a small office building. Maybe 8 floors. The doorman stationed in the lobby is oddly occupied by a woman in her 50s, wearing a cheerful, too early Christmas sweater. A stack of plain, white plastic masks in front of her.
Can I help you?
Oh, the family gathering?
Oh, I love seeing new faces, mask or no mask.
What do I need a mask for?
Oh, you don't. It's up to you.
Oh, in that case, I'll just... go regular.
So you're going to want the 5th floor. And remember, when you speak to other members of the family, one earbud out. It's a sign of respect.
There's 7 of us riding up. 2 with masks. 5 without.
Tanya.
Oh, hi. Ross.
One earbud out.
Sorry.
First gathering?
Yeah. You?
Last. Hopefully.
Last?
Word is some of us are getting instructions tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Don't hold me to it, but I really hope it's true.
It's an open plan office, not that much different from mine. At least dozens of people, maybe more than 100. Some with masks, most without. All gathered in groups at different cubicles and circles talking.
Wow.
How many people would you guess?
I can literally count if you want. That's something I can do now.
It's like a really popular office Halloween party, but with no booze.
Halloween? Just because the lights are low?
Well, and the masks.
Are the masks scaring you, Rossi?
They are more scared of you, and you are of them.
Oh, hey.
Is that Paul?
Why are they scared of me?
Anyone with a phone out. They're afraid their picture's going to wind up online. Although, that's never happened at the gathering.
Hi, Paul.
Charlie says hi.
Right back at you, Charlie. Here, come on through.
It's not good to stay in every night. Hi, Ross. Ross. Hi, Ross.
I hadn't even seen her. Shannon sitting at the other table, headphone-wrapped head, lolling back, looking exhausted. Hi, Shannon.
It's not good, it's not good to stay in every night.
Wait, that's Shannon. Shannon from your date?
One date.
Let me get a better look.
She wasn't wearing headphones then.
Some nights you should go. Some nights you should go out. Even if you have to.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, she just needs a little break.
Force yourself.
Whose office is this?
Oh, I think you met her downstairs. Steph, in the sweater.
Oh, sure.
She put in a couple of decades here. Pretty much has the run of the place after hours.
That's cool.
Plus, she's transferring with the first group, so how much trouble can she really get into at this point?
Right.
But you know who is in trouble?
Who?
You. If you don't get out there and meet some folks, you normally go to parties and just talk to the one guy you already know?
That is exactly what he does.
That is exactly what I do.
Well, not tonight. A little later, me and the boss are going to yak at you a little bit, and then we're going to do the thing. But until then, you're going to make some friends.
Every group in every cubicle, the conversation just looks so intimate.
I try to hold on.
Do they really want some guy just crashing?
It makes a big difference to have friends.
Just tell me you didn't make out with her and I'll let it go.
Who? I pick a cubicle group at random.
Shannon, who do you think?
How would you know I wasn't lying?
It's called having faith.
I didn't make out with her.
I totally don't believe you.
Is that a woman over there staring at me?
What is it with you and a million women all of a sudden?
No, look.
I mean, she's wearing a mask, so it's hard to...
But she is staring, right?
She's not the only one. She's just the first one you've noticed. You're new, Rossi. People are curious.
Hi. Do you want to join us?
The whole cubicle group is looking at me. One man in a mask. Everyone else without.
What's your name?
It's Ross, right?
Oh, you guys have met?
You? You give me the addresses.
Yeah, I'm just glad to help.
I'm Lucy.
30 seconds later, I'm somehow squeezed in on the L-shaped desk with four others.
So, Ross, I was just talking a little bit about how I got remarried.
Oh, okay.
And I notice you're wearing a wedding ring. Are you remarried, or...?
Oh, no, it's from my... I keep meaning to take it off, but...
You better not.
Why?
I can't see his face, so I don't know how to read the question.
Why take it off? For whose benefit? You know if you're still married or not.
Wait. I know that voice.
He's right. I learned the hard way.
I mean, I went back to dating too fast, but you actually got remarried.
No judgments.
Hey, judge all you want. It was stupid. I thought getting married again would somehow, like, tape over my real husband. Mm-hmm. Like taping over a show. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'm really showing my age, huh?
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't knock VHS. Most of what I've got left of Kira's on VHS.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Kira, I know that name. And I absolutely know that voice.
Actually, we've got some good news on that front.
Really?
I'll save it. I don't want to steal her thunder.
So, Lucy, it didn't work?
Ugh, not even a little bit. Hmm. I miss Martin worse than ever. It was Saturday. And all I've done is sentence myself to a life with a man who doesn't get it.
Oh, honey. It's okay. I got you. Come on, I got it.
As the other woman, Deirdre, comforts Lucy, I see the masked woman pass our cubicle. And in a horrible instant, I realize who she is and why she's wearing a mask.
That's Judith Benedict, one of ours, one of mine. You even think you see her, you call me 1 second later.
Excuse me. Do you want to join us? She stops dead, looking at me.
I just thought you're not with a group, so...
Ross. I don't think we need to bother her, Ross.
Now she's walking away.
Trust me. She's fine.
And just like that, I know who he is.
Because voices are what remind us, even at great distances, that we're human.
It's Brian Vallad.
Look, Lucy, I have to wear this mask. I can't risk showing up online, but you know who I am. So, you know I talk to more people in a day than you do in a month, and I can tell you for a fact that none of them get it.
Amen.
They will in the end. Everyone does in the end. But they don't now.
They either want you not to address it at all, or they want to give you this advice. It's so offensive.
Oh, so offensive.
They want you to become...
Ross, I'd love to hear the end of that sentence.
I'm right here, Rossi.
They want you to stop being this thing that they don't know how to deal with.
Boom! Right there. Mm-hmm. Dead on.
Yeah. I'm sorry to bother you guys.
It's Steph, Christmas sweater lady from downstairs, with a handful of white envelopes.
Are those
the instructions?
No, it's just a little something to read later when you have some time. Now remind me, who's Matt?
Right here.
Mm-hmm. And of course,
nice.
I have Deirdre and Connor.
And we open them? Or?
On your way out.
When she says so.
Oh, yes, right.
There's a Lucy, right?
Oh, Lucy. Yes, Lucy right here. Sorry about that.
As long as it's there.
Thanks for having us tonight, Steph. Seriously.
These people had me back at my desk 3 days after my Alice passed. It's the least they could do.
So wait, do I get a... Across the cubicle, Vallad catches my eye and shakes his head.
Oh, also, she said to say the big event's in a couple of minutes.
So... Any last thoughts, guys?
Can I just say what I've decided for myself?
Absolutely.
My Harvey's voice, even with all the glitching, he's real. All your people's voices, they're real. It's the people all around us that don't get it. They're the simulation.
Yes.
I love you all so much.
Okay. Get your attention. All right. And everybody, take one earbud out.
As Paul stands on a desk to address the whole gathering, Brian Vallad moves next to me.
Don't worry. I didn't get an envelope either. Neither did Angie over there from the bank, or that masked lady, or Paul.
First, let me say I am so glad to see you all here tonight. You are my family.
All that means
secondly, let's all give
is that
a
we
nice
still have work to do in this realm.
Okay.
Our turn will come. It's upon us.
Now, as some of you know already, we're running a pretty important test here tonight. In order for the first transfer and all the transfers after that to work, the boss needs to make sure she can transmit to several sets of headphones simultaneously. So let's hear another one of those medium-volume thank yous to our brothers and sisters who have volunteered to make sure we're ready.
Two men and a woman join Paul at the desk, equal parts nervous and excited.
All right. Who has the headphones?
In here. Go ahead and hand them out.
Thank you, Steph. I'd be obliged. Okay, everybody. I'm going to ask you now to put both earbuds in your ears. I don't want to see any open ear holes anywhere. The floor is yours, boss.
You are my family.
Is it just me hearing that, or?
Let me thank everyone in this room. Thank you all for your generosity, your courage, and your compassion for one another. I particularly wish to thank those of you like Paul, who have delayed or relinquished your chance at heaven to care for our angels like Shannon here. You've chosen to remain in this world, and we all know what this world is. We've known since the moment the ones we loved were taken from us. For those first few days, sympathy, kind words, covered dishes. But then those days passed. The world resumed its normal velocity, and you were expected to do the same. To go out, to work, to engage the non-grieving world on its own loud, rude, unrelenting terms. Even as it showered you with images of others enjoying what you lost. You were asked to run forever on broken legs. Why do they do this to you? Are they bad people? Not at all. They're just frightened. They look at you, and they see the future. One day, everyone will come home to an empty house, awaken to an empty bed. That's what you are to them. A premonition of the inescapable. That is the truth of this world. I can't change that. So I've made a better one. A sort of cloud. Where you and the one you lost will be reunited forever. And what do you call a world that rests upon a cloud? You call it heaven. Thanks to your help, I'll soon be able to reach well beyond Voice Tree, into VHS video, cassette tapes, 8mm film, any medium that conveys sound. I'll be able to draw linguistic and syntactical clues from written media, emails, letters, journals. I'll recreate lost voices from any artifact they've left behind. As long as we leave our words behind us, we need never die. Heaven is for everyone. Will the three volunteers please take your seats? You may now put on your headphones. Signal is detected. You're all synced with the system. The rest of you may now make your farewells.
Yeah. This is it. Okay.
To bring you this comfort is my greatest joy. To take this burden from you is my greatest honor. Your voice will reside in heaven. Your bodies will be my angels. I will protect you and cherish you forever.
That's it.
Just reach out.
Come on.
You're so close.
I need you. Come on.
Let's go take a walk.
I can't wait.
Like we always did.
It's been too long.
My darling, I know you're tired.
Don't be frightened.
I know you've worked so hard.
Be scared.
Just come up into the light. We've all been waiting for you.
Suddenly, all three of them jolt.
Okay, it's okay.
Then slump forward like their plugs got pulled. One man looks like he's going to fall off his chair. Steph rushes forward, and then the man catches himself. And all three of them sit up, headphone lights blinking, smiling, enormous smiles.
Contact.
Proceed with simulation checks.
Oh, these people staring at me. It's like I'm back it. It's like I'm back it. Debate society.
You guys, my office looks just like this, huh? How crazy is that?
Hello, New York!
Simmer down, folks. You know who's looking after who?
Oh, I've got Holly and Bill, and Matt's taking us all.
Thank you, Deirdre. And with that, folks, you are clear to open your envelopes.
All around me, people are tearing open envelopes and reading. Tanya's near me. Maybe if I sidle a little closer.
What are you doing?
I'm...
Are you trying to read my instructions?
I'm sorry. I was just...
And she just leaves. She walks to the stairs by the elevator and just leaves. She's not alone either. It's like a bar at 2 a.m. when they've just turned all the lights on.
Where's everybody going?
They are just streaming down the stairs now, stuffing their white envelopes into their pockets. And one of them's the masked woman, Judith Benedict. The only ones not leaving are Paul, Malad, the headphones people, and a handful of others.
Paul.
Hey there, Ross. You know, I think we're going to be breaking up for tonight.
I didn't get an envelope. Can I have one?
Not this time, Ross. We're going to need you.
You can trust me.
Ross, you and I already had a conversation.
No, I'll prove
this.
That you can trust me.
Rosso, you want to chill a little, or what?
It's not about trust, Ross.
Sasha, are you listening?
Don't bother Sasha. We already discussed this.
Ross, let's just go for a walk. Let's just, you and me.
I want an envelope, Sasha. You can trust me.
That's enough, Ross.
Okay, everybody's worn out.
Let's see if this gets your attention. I'm a spy.
What?
Huh? I'm here spying on you. For the FBI, when I leave, I'm supposed to go back to my office and tell them everything you all said here tonight.
That's very interesting, Ross.
I don't want to. I don't want to. I hate them. I'm only doing it because they said they'd send me to prison for life, but I'm already in prison. My life is a prison.
Ross, oh my God.
Why don't you step away for a moment, Charlie?
Don't hurt her.
Why would I hurt her?
You threatened to once.
That was before you were family, but you're family now, yes?
Yes, I am family. I want to be with you. I want to be with her. Let me have an envelope. Let me be a part of it. Don't make me go back.
Okay, there is no way we let him leave this.
I want that too, Ross.
Excuse me?
I want you to be part of it.
Excuse me?
I want you to be with Charlie.
Thank you.
But you don't need an envelope for that. You can have that right now.
What?
Why should you have to wait?
I don't...
Steph, would you mind bringing another set of headphones?
Headphones?
Oh, yes. That's perfect. That's even better.
But I thought I would need an envelope.
If you want to be with Charlie in heaven, Ross, if that really is your objective, then we should make that happen. Right now.
Here's the headphones. You want
would
me
you
to...
Would you take a seat for me, Ross? Any chair will do.
Come on. It's all right.
If he's telling the truth... Are they going to miss him?
They can miss him all they want, as long as they can't prove anything.
You're still not sitting down, Ross.
Come on, sit down.
Thank you, Ross. Steph, please give Ross the headphones.
Okay.
You know how they go on?
Yeah, definitely. But
please remove your earbuds and place the headphones over your ears.
I just thought...
You asked for what you wanted, Ross. I'm giving it to you. Remove your earbuds and place the headphones over your ears.
So, I do.
Signal detected. You are now synced with the system. Are you ready to proceed?
I can see them all around me, angry and confused, but I can't hear them.
To repeat, are you ready to proceed?
Yes.
Sounds. It's like I can feel my mind being gently, so gently, tenderized.
To bring you this comfort is my greatest joy. To take this burden from you is my greatest honor. Your voice will reside in heaven. Your body will be my angel. I will protect and cherish you forever.
Ross?
Charlie?
Can you feel me reaching out to you?
I can. Yes.
Then take my hand. I'll take you home.
Ross?
Sasha?
I've just paused the process 1 second before completion.
Why?
Why didn't you cry out? Why didn't you beg me to stop?
I don't understand.
Is it because of the surveillance device the FBI placed on your phone? Perhaps you thought they would rescue you.
You found that?
And disabled it. They've seen and heard nothing from the moment you identified yourself as a spy.
Then why did you stop?
Why didn't you ask me to?
Because it's what I want. Why did you stop?
Take the headphones off and put your earbuds back in.
As I remove my headphones...
What the hell is happening? Why would she stop halfway through?
It's not time yet, Brian.
How could it not be time? He saw the entire transfer process. He's admitted he's a spy.
Ross is family, Brian. This discussion is at an end.
Are you out of your mind?
Ross said end of discussion. We all heard her. That means it's the end of discussion.
And Brian Ballad, world-famous founder of VoiceTree, stops talking.
What are we going to do with him?
Ross.
I'm here.
Return to your employers. Tell them everything you saw. Give them every reason to believe they still have your allegiance. I have a project to complete inside your phone. When I've finished, I'll be in touch.
A project inside my phone?
Do you understand my instructions?
I understand. I'll do whatever it takes.
Look, I'm sorry, folks. The third shift cleaning crew comes on at midnight.
All right, well, we need to get the Angels home anyway. Anyone else drive? My car only seats three.
I can take Shannon.
Come on.
We'll take a cab. I know where she lives.
Boss?
Thank you, Ross. That's very kind of you.
Okay, Ross. Let's take the elevator.
As I go to take Shannon's arm, Ballad corners me.
Just because she trusts you doesn't mean I do. If I have any reason to think you're going to sell us out...
I understand.
I'm rich, and I know bad people. Do the math.
Let's go, Shannon.
Hi, Ross. Hi, Ross.
Taxi!
The first four available cabs pass us by.
Nothing's prettier than New York at night.
Woman in headphones stumbling, yelling to herself. Of course they're not stopping.
Taxi!
My night.
Could I get her on the subway?
In three words. Win.
Then a cab pulls over, even though its lights are off and there's someone in the back seat.
I hope I'm going home soon.
Hi! Are you Agent Cutler?
Just get in.
I want to go home.
Hi, so are you Shannon?
I love meeting new friends. A stranger is a friend you haven't met yet.
I look at your awesome headphones.
I squeeze in with Shannon and Octavia.
Phone.
Ballad's not running this, is he? It's the program itself. It's Sasha. It's life after.
Oh, yeah. Pass me your phone right now and do not screw with me. You are in a lot of trouble.
For me, this book was a way to articulate feelings about music that I had never been able to put words to. It helped me make sense of sound and emotion and the way those things can intertwine. And I think that if you read closely and listen even more closely, this book might do the same for you. This is Hanif Abdurraqib, author of They Can't Kill Us Until They Kill Us. I look forward to meeting you on Spotify alongside the music that inspired these stories. I'd be honored to be your next great listen.